Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
This month we are looking at a few different people from the book of 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel is what is called a historical book in the Old Testament of the Bible. And by historical book, it's in that category because it tells the story of Israel. And it falls into this category where it's telling the history of what happened to Israel and how it got established and what the kings and what happened with the kings and the prophets after they were established in their land. And this book, 1 and 2 Samuel, tell a lot about King David and King Saul and the situations around that, but they also have their root, obviously, in a guy named Samuel. And so we're going to be actually looking at a bit of the story of Samuel today. Now, before we get into learning about him and his story, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that pretty well all of you in this room understand what it feels like to be lost. Whether that is you're trying to follow somebody's directions and they're not lining up and you don't know where you're going, or you're driving someplace you've never been, or you're trying to make your way through the CRA website and you're like, who designed this thing? And you feel lost, right? You know that feeling of feeling lost. And you understand that feeling isn't just about navigation with the internet or with driving, traveling, figuring out that kind of stuff. You know that feeling tends to carry over into a lot of situations in our lives. Whether it's your job or school or your family, your marriage, any of those key relationships, you're looking at money or you're looking at just how you're supposed to be managing your life, you come up against problems, you come up against situations, things happen, and you're left feeling lost. What direction am I supposed to go? Where am I supposed to be going next? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to figure this out? Sometimes it's things go sideways in those key relationships, whether that's with your kids or with your parents, a sibling, an in-law or your spouse, and you're left going, I'm not sure how I got here, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do next to get out of this. Other times, you're looking at your finances, and they're not going the way that you want. They're going down, and you look at it, and you go, this is the price of groceries, this is the price of my rent or my house, and this is my car, and this is my income, and I don't know how to navigate this. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing to turn this around so that I actually end up getting more money than I'm spending. Sometimes it just, you're trying to figure out what job you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to go to school, just complicated situations at work even, and you end up feeling lost. And so, sometimes we get desperate enough where we start looking for answers. Sometimes we'll talk to other people, may or may not be helpful. Some of us even start praying, and we go, God, I need an answer here. I need some help. I need some clarity. I need to know what I'm supposed to do next. How am I supposed to get out of this? What am I supposed to do? And many of us in this room have come up against the situation where it feels like we're praying, and we're not getting anything in response. You may feel like okay, if God's saying anything, I don't know what he's saying. Others of you have just come to the conclusion that God doesn't actually speak to people. Maybe he did in the past. You're not sure that he did in the past, but or maybe you're thinking maybe he did in the past, but he doesn't now. He doesn't talk to us now, and we're on our own. Others of you say, you know what? You've got to be that special person. You've got to be that person that has everything figured out and that lives in a monastery and has no sense of humor. And you've got to be one of those people to be able to really hear God speak. One way or another, many of you in this room, maybe all of you in this room, have struggled with feeling like God is not speaking to you and you're not going to get an answer to help you figure out where you're supposed to go to get unlost. And it feels like you are on your own. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." Samuel was the son that was given to a woman who couldn't have kids. Her and her husband tried to have kids, and they couldn't happen. She prayed, and God gave her the son. And when she prayed for the son, she said, "If you give me a son, if you give me a child, then they will serve you all the days of their lives." And so when she finally conceived and she had the boy and she named him Samuel, she brought him to the temple and dedicated him to the Lord and kind of gave him to the priest and said, "He's here to learn from you, to follow you, and to serve God." And so Samuel, as a young child, is living at the temple or the tabernacle of the time and following the priest named Eli. And he's learning about how to serve at the temple. He's learning about God, and he's learning about all these things. And he's there, and he is, as just a little child, living at the temple. And in this story, it starts with Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. In other words, God wasn't speaking very much. The people of this time were not hearing God speak to them. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" And Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down, you stupid brat." Okay, he didn't say stupid brat. I added that. So he went back and he laid down. Again, the Lord God called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And a third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle." God calls Samuel, and Samuel doesn't, it doesn't even cross his mind that it is possibly God speaking to him. That's not even an option in his brain. He just immediately thinks, "That's got to be Eli calling me. That's got to be Eli." And he doesn't sit there and go, "Okay, so if that wasn't Eli calling me, what could be the other possibility?" That doesn't seem to be going through his head, because when it happens again, he doesn't sit there and go, "What is going on?" He immediately gets up and goes back to Eli. "You called me? You called me?" And that verse says that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And it wasn't until Eli realized what was going on that he said something. And Samuel was then able to hear God and recognize God and have that conversation and get a word from God about some direction for his life. Now, we know that we are not living in the time of Samuel. We are living in the time after Jesus. We believe that God sent Jesus to the earth and that he revealed himself in that special way to us, and that he has made himself available to us through his Holy Spirit. Actually, Jesus says, "I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again, and then I'm going to go up to heaven, and I'm going to go up to heaven so that the Holy Spirit comes to you." And in the book of Acts, it talks about this prophecy in the book of Joel that says that, you know what, God's going to come, he's going to pour out his Spirit. And it says this: "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams." In the book of Revelation, there's this phrase from Jesus to the church saying, "Behold, I am at the door. I am knocking. Let me in." We're not in a time when God is not speaking. The reality is that we absolutely are in a time when God is speaking. And like Samuel and Samuel's experience, I believe that God is speaking to each one of us, but we often miss it. And so I don't think the problem is that we need to get better at getting a response from God. I don't think the issue is you need to pray better, you need to pray harder, you need to be a better person, you need to get your crap figured out so that you can get God to spend time speaking to you. I think the issue is a little different. This is what I want us to get. You don't need to make God speak. You just need to recognize him when he does. You don't need to do anything special to wake God up, to get his attention, to get him to respond to your letter, respond to your pleas, respond to you. There is nothing special you've got to do to get God to answer your prayers. But you do need to recognize his voice when he speaks to you. You need to recognize him when he does speak. We were joking before service. My eldest, he's 8, he made a card or a little booklet for Mother's Day for Heidi. And in it, it was like, you draw this picture, and then you answer questions about mom and all this stuff. And at one point, it was like, what's your favorite color? Pink. What's her favorite food? Pizza. What's her hobby? You know what he put as her hobby? Napping. And I think it is her hobby. And so we were joking about that. We were chatting about that before service. And I said, you know what? Maybe it's a hobby, but it kind of sounds like depression. She's like, no, I'm not depressed. We were like, yeah, you're just sad all the time. You're not motivated to do anything. You just don't want to wake up. You have no energy. Life doesn't seem as full as it used to be. Yeah, that sounds like depression to me. A while ago, Heidi got after me. She was yelling at me. I know, very surprising. She was like, I think you have sleep apnea. I was like, no, I don't. I just snore. I took the test, I snore. It's like, no. Like, you toss and turn all night. Like, you're there, and it sounds like you're choking, like, every 30 seconds. Like, no, I don't have it. I took the test. I just snore. And yes, I roll around in my sleep a lot. And yes, I wake up several times in the night. And yes, I'm not feeling super refreshed every day. And yes, I'm tired. And all. You know what that sounds like? Sleep apnea. Guess what I have? Sleep apnea. I'm not really enjoying this getting old thing. This is my point with that. It was there all along. I just didn't see it. I just didn't recognize it. And a lot of times in our lives, we think, God's not talking to me. God's not answering my prayers. God's not there. God doesn't speak to people. God doesn't speak to me. That's not an option. That's not a possibility, whatever it is. We think that's not happening. God is not speaking to me. I am not hearing this audible voice. And if I did hear an audible voice, I'd go to the psychiatrist. But that's not happening. But the reality is that we make that assumption that God is not speaking to me. But when we actually look at what's going on and we do a careful examination of the symptoms, of the sounds, of the voice that we are picking up on, we will realize that we don't need to get God to speak because he already is speaking. But like Samuel, you need to recognize his voice. You need to know God's voice enough that when he speaks, you can recognize his voice and go, oh, that's God speaking. This is my belief here. I very much believe that God has been speaking to most, if not all of you in this room. I think he's been speaking to you this morning, and I think he's been speaking to you for a few weeks now, at least. At least. And you have passed it off as that's just my own thoughts, or that's just somebody else saying that, or that's anxiety speaking, or whatever, and you have ignored it. Some of you have heard God speak to you for so long without recognizing it that you have kind of numbed yourself even to the awareness that it's there. It's kind of like the noise that the fridge makes, right? Somebody walks into your house and you're like, man, your fridge is noisy. And you're like, my fridge doesn't make noise. And you kind of numb yourself to it. But I very much believe that God has been speaking to you. And you may even be trying to get him to speak, to respond, but that is not what you need to do. You do not need to get God to speak to you. You need to recognize him when he does speak to you. Now, I don't hear an audible voice when God speaks to me. But it's this kind of like way deep down. And like you've got the gut feeling, right? And this is kind of lower than the gut feeling. This is one of those calm, clear, like, you know how you know that 2 + 2 = 4? And then you just know that, like, you understand it, it's clear, it's an assured, like, fundamental reality. It's kind of like in that same kind of gut feeling. There's a clarity to it. And you know it like better than you know logic. When you look at it and you test it, it lines up with Jesus. It lines up with what God's word says. And when you follow it, it follows through it. It comes about. For some of you, you are hearing God say to you, and you have been hearing God say to you, you need to go apologize to that person. That may be a new word for you. That may be a word that he has been saying to you for 30 years. You need to apologize to that person. And you have ignored it. You have said, That's not something I want to do. That's not something I need to do. I'm not walking down that road. I'm not doing that. Whatever it is, and you have ignored it, you put it aside, you thought that was just you. I'm telling you, that was God speaking. You need to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Others of you, you've been looking at your finances, you've been looking at your job, you've been looking at the direction of your life, and you've been feeling like, no, I need to change what I'm doing. I have been chasing money for so long, and it is not fulfilling, and I'm not even getting the money that I really need, and I need to change how I'm doing things here. And you have ignored it, you've put it aside, you've thought about it, and you're like, that's scary, that's risky, I don't know how to handle that, I don't know what's going to come from that, but that has been God speaking to you. And you need to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Others of you, you're looking at your marriage, and you have been doing things in your marriage where you either need to confess something to your spouse, or you need to change something about how you've been treating your spouse, or you need to you need to have a conversation about something, and you have had God speak to you saying, you need to say that to them. You need to confess that to them. You need to make this change in your priorities. And you've ignored it, dumbed it down, questioned it. And the response you really should have is, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Sometimes we read God's word and something jumps out to us, and then we forget it, we ignore it, we walk away from it, and we don't pay attention to it anymore. But really what we should be doing is saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I want to hear your voice more clearly. And like Samuel, it started just with him calling his name, and he didn't understand all of it, and he didn't have the complexity of it, and he didn't understand his voice. And he had to learn, and he had to grow in that. But the first step along this journey is to respond and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And the more you read his word, and the more time you spend listening, and the more time you spend following his voice, the clearer he'll become. Now, I have to throw this in here. If you hear a voice in your head that says, go punch the pastor in the face, that's not God. Okay, that might be Heidi, but it's not God. If it doesn't line up with his word and his values, if it doesn't express the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, if it doesn't line up with that stuff, and it is actually hate and bitterness and anxiety and fear, that's not of God. But if it's something like you need to forgive that somebody, you need to confess this thing, you need to make this change so that you're pursuing something that's really of value in your life, you need to fix this relationship, you need to surrender this thing to God, whatever, like that kind of stuff that is an expression, this gives us a huge, huge clue as to what God sounds like. And honestly, I think many of you here, as I've been speaking, have had something come to mind that are like, oh, was that God speaking? You've already had that thought. It's time for you to respond with, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You don't need to make God speak. But you do need to recognize him when he does. The worship team's going to come back up. They're going to do two or three more songs. And this is a very significant moment to spend time responding to what God has been saying to you this morning, or been saying to you for weeks, or for months, or for years. And during these songs, as much as I want us to sing out and I want us to praise God, I also want us to be in the place of obedience, where if you have felt that stirring, you have felt that feeling way down here, you have had that clarity and you feel like that's God speaking to you, you can talk to somebody that knows God's voice and get clarity and say, does this sound like God to you? And that's wise and that's good. You can check it with the Word of God. That's wise, that's good. But your first step is to respond with, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And I want you to listen for what it is he's saying to you today. And if you've got that clarity, I want you to take that step of faith. And for some of you here, God has been saying, I just want you to come home. I want you to come back to me. I want you to surrender your life to me. I just want you to come and let me heal you and let me forgive you and let me bring you home and let me guide you and let me guide your life and let me do the miraculous things that I want to do in your life. And you need to take that step to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I will follow you. And this is your moment to respond. This is your moment to answer his call, answer his voice, to respond to what he's saying. Because he doesn't want you to be lost in your life anymore. He doesn't want you to wander through the challenges and the problems that you face in your life. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. He wants to show you the way. You don't need to be lost in your life. And you don't need to make him speak to you. You just need to recognize him when he does.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.